This is Roots Pod.
Loose again for a moment. This drive from outside. Rodriguez is there. Oh, the left foot grabs some woodwork and stays out.
Roots Pod episode 80. Whatever happened, it wasn't even 10% as embarrassing as the fit Real Madrid threw after finding out Vinny Jr. didn't win the Ballon d'Or. All right. Well, what an interesting end of the season. Birmingham Legion 5, Oakland Roots 0. It's somehow the Roots' third 5-0 loss on the season. This is a meaningless game. I've made this point in my section of the preview. Meaningless game. Roots could have finished, but going into the end of the day, the Roots could have finished anywhere between 6th and 8th, but I'm not sure that the difference really made. It wasn't a significant difference. They might as well have just thrown the game. It didn't really look like that's what they were going to do when they put the lineup out, but man, I'm not sure that the performance really said much other than that we don't care what the result of this match is. Roots finished the season in 7th. That's fine. They're going to the playoffs. They somehow have the worst goal differential in the West, although that is largely a product of the aforementioned record number of 5-0 defeats. I assume it's a record. There's just no way. It's such an interesting team that can both beat the two teams that go into the playoffs as the number one seed in their respective conferences and also whatever that was. I personally am not taking anything out of this game. Are you guys taking anything out of this match at all? Getting a bunch of shaking of the heads here. This visual podcast, obviously. No one is taking anything from this game.
You're gonna complain about us shaking our heads, but then you also complain when John and I regularly talk over each other. Hold on, let me take that back. When I regularly talk over John.
Just edit that out.
There's one-way blame. I don't think that there's much to be taken from this game. I don't think we're gonna see. I'm gonna get into this in more detail, but first things first, I don't think we're gonna see Tim Cyril. And I think that is likely to be the biggest difference. I think he caught a bunch of blame that he doesn't deserve, but we're not going to see him. And we only didn't see Memo Diaz because of a red card suspension or a yellow card accumulation suspension. We're going to see him. I presume we're going to see Justin Rasmussen. And those are our three most consistent performers all season have been those three players. I kind of wish if Gavin was going to throw this game, he'd thrown it and really played a bunch of kids. Because a half measure of throwing it just makes it look like he tried to win and fucked it up.
I mean, I think there's some takeaways, not very good ones. I mean, based on the post-game press conference, Gavin was very, pointing the finger at the back line, not calling players by name for giving effort, notably on the defensive side, but you can take note of the three changes that were at halftime, Niall Logan for Neville Hackshaw in particular. Just going back and watching the game, looking at just some of the effort on the goal, the goal conceding plays and one of the halftime subs was Babacar Jai. The first goal he's left out to turned inside out before a worldie of a goal by Taka. On the long ball over the top, on the next goal, which was the long chip. I mean, you look at Hackshaw and he doesn't even try to put in a tackle. He's slowing down. There's no effort there. The next goal.
When he should have taken that man out.
Yeah.
At least
try and put a leg in there. At least try and put a foot in there. And, I replay it over and over and over again, just trying to see what Gavin was talking about. And, it was a, it was a bad play on Hackshaw's part. You know, it, Gavin said after the match, you know, I asked him, do you have difficult decisions after this game? And he said, oh, they're not so difficult. You know, so for that, I really don't think we see Hackshaw in the starting lineup in this next game. Babacar Zhai, one thing I want to credit Babu for is on that long goal, I believe it was the third goal that hit, you know, kind of curved to the bottom of Cyrell, you know, should have stopped it. Confidence really shaken at that point already for the young kid. You know, mistakes like that are going to happen. But the only person to check on the kid was Babacar. And, you know, you look at, again, Hackshaw, and the first thing he does is point towards the bench, and Camden is half-heartedly trying to calm him down, and Hackshaw is the captain, and he's yelling at the bench, walking away from a 20-year-old keeper who is have his confidence obviously shaken, and you're going to tell me that's the captain of the team? Why does he have the armband? You know, that is also a coaching decision. It was a very damning game for me, for a lot of people on the team. And also even, you know, I'll take it one step further. This is a important offseason to make the right coaching hire. And, I've heard talk that Gavin might be a favorite. 5-0 goals. I mean, in some of these, you can't just blame all the players, but the coaching staff has to take some heat for that too. You can't give up 4 or 5 goal games and be a favorite for the job. I just don't see it.
Yeah. I think probably he's not the guy for the job, but in terms of this game, I mean, I saw what you were seeing. I think that both Jai and Hackshaw really sort of let the defense down on those first two goals. And I think everything else flowed from that second goal. I mean, it just shattered Cyrill. And I know for certain that he could hear the booing from the crowd, and you could see it making things worse. And that third goal is that, you know, he bobbles a ball that he has saved, you know, every single time he's ever seen that in practice. You know, it's just his confidence is gone. And I think that game turns out very differently if our forwards take some damn responsibility in the box. I mean, Trayvon Reed was one-on-one in the keeper 5 yards past his nearest defender and missed. He didn't even get saved. He missed. And I mean, like, there was another one that I think it was Johnny that was closer. I mean, that one was a shot from outside the box, but we had a couple opportunities with the ball under control in the box and missed. And that's, you know, I mean, I understand both ends of the field have to do their job, but if the Roots are up 2-0, Birmingham isn't taking those chances. You know, things are completely different. The game is completely different. And we were in the ascendancy first, and our offense frittered away chances as they have done all season. Johnny got pretty unlucky with the shot off the post. I don't think it was mostly him. I've complained about Reed's performance all season, and that goal, that missed chance early in the game, was maybe the most infuriating one yet. So I think that there is a lot of blame to go around, and I hope that the team is thinking of, you know, I hope the team is not thinking, well, we were playing a couple backups. Things are going to be different this weekend. Like, all of them bear some responsibility for this game.
Yeah, you know, with Johnny being subbed off at halftime, you know, that might be of the three players that, you know, I mean, if we're talking about lack of effort, I'm not sure if Johnny's one of those guys. He did have some good chances, had a shot, couple shots blocked in the box, one outside the box, one that went high. Trayvon just, man, like you said, he skies it And if he just puts that on frame, who knows what happens? It changes the game, and who knows how the game flows from there. Johnny's, you know, one thing I noted too in the few goal chances, Trayvon's shot in the, what was it? It was so early, like the 10th, 11th minute.
10th or 11th, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny's attempt in the 27th, both of them were a byproduct of Jose Luis Sinisterra. Sinisterra with a ball over the top to Trayvon, and Sinisterra with some high pressing action to force a turnover, feed it back for a shot that was blocked that trickled to Johnny 5 feet in front of the box. He takes a left-footed shot, and it just curls around like three defenders and then hits the post. It might be more impressive that it evaded three defenders, but, you know, yeah. But, you know,
Sinisterra made stuff happen in this game. I don't think that Johnny showed a lack of effort. I think that he was brought off because he, you know, it is hard to even conceive of a good result for the Roots this coming weekend that doesn't come from Johnny Rodriguez, you know? And so it's like, that game's lost. At halftime, that game is lost. Take Johnny off the field. I thought Sinisterra was good. I, you know, on the point of interplay between Sinisterra and Johnny, that second goal comes out of almost immediately off of a penalty shout that the referee didn't give. And, you know, I don't think it was, I think there wasn't a good replay on the broadcast. I suspect it was a handball, but was one of those where it's like, you don't get given a penalty when the ball hits the defender's hand 4 feet after it leaves the shooter's foot. So I'm not like complaining about the refereeing there, but I think that Sinisterra and Johnny were like fully justified in trying to get the penalty there. And then there's like two kicks and then the ball's long and then the guy takes the shot and ball goes in. So and that sort of changed everything, right? I mean, as soon as it's 2-0, as soon as Cyril's confidence is shattered, you're just in trouble. Is there anything else to talk about in this game?
Gosh, I hope not. I mean, the nice thing about being fans is that we can just turn the page. I agree with you guys that the team should probably be looking for things to improve upon from this performance, but it was effectively a dead rubber, and we don't need to let it concern us.
Yeah. I mean, there's one thing I do wonder, though, just to bring one point
back.
Bring one point back. Against Las Vegas, they had 22% possession, and they had like the most shots on target in like 2 years and the most shot attempts in, you know, considerable time. Why go back to the possessive based form? You know, I question Gavin on that. He gave his answer, but I think that was a missed decision. I think that this team has proven their best when they're counterattacking based. Time and time again, that's when the best results have came, and the troublesome times come when we're trying to dominate possession. Like, I don't know. I think Tim Howard did have a point in that podcast show that he was on, where everybody's trying to do the possessive based form because of Pep Guardiola, and not everybody can do it. I'd rather play at this level. I'd rather play great defense and hit teams on the counter like they did against Las Vegas. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that's a good transition to the fact that the Roots are going on the road against a better team.
Yeah. Yeah. So seventh place gets them Colorado Springs, who is on fire right now. The Switchbacks, I think, stunned a lot of people. They have 6 wins and 2 draws in their last 10 matches, and they have rocketed up the table. They overcame, I mean, let's go back to the beginning of the season. You might recall our first matchup with Colorado Springs was the last game of the Noah Delgado era. And They went into that match with 0 wins and 1 draw in the season, and we said this is a get-right game for the Oakland Roots. It was not, but it's pretty much just been up for Colorado Springs since that point. And really, these last 10 matches, they're 2 losses. Orange County, they had a red card, and I believe both of the goals, just one of the goals came after they were down a man. That was a 2-0 loss. And they lost 2-1 against San Antonio. The winner was scored in the 9th minute of second half stoppage time after 5 minutes were awarded. So, you know, there's some extenuating circumstances there. This team is on fire. But let's talk briefly about the 2 times the Oakland Roots have played Colorado Springs. Because I personally thought of the possible opponents in the first round, you know, Colorado Springs is the only one we hadn't beaten, hadn't gotten any result against. I thought this might be the worst draw. But if you look at the 2 matches, it's really not as bad as you might have thought. So the first one, like I already mentioned, 2-0 loss at home. This is the end of the Delgado era. But one thing to maybe remember about that performance, I mean, it was anemic. You probably do remember that. Or at least remember feeling incredibly dispirited afterwards. But something to remember there is that Gagge was missing on a he had picked up 2 yellows in the previous match, and Hackshaw, who at the time was obviously one of our better defenders. Well, how we feel about that right now, you know, I'll leave that up in the air. But at the time, he was clearly one of our more pivotal defenders. I believe he was serving the last game of the suspension he got out of the brouhaha at Monterey Bay. So the Roots were is a makeshift back line. Rasmussen, Logue, and Tamakas were the back three in that game. You know, this is not a system we're going to see in this game. And then in the second match, the return fixture in Colorado Springs, 2nd-minute goal, really unlikely shot. I mean, it was a great goal, but 2nd minute, and that was, you know, then Colorado Springs was able to shut the game down. You know, that could happen, but I think that's a really unlikely outcome, all things considered. So after considering those two matches, I don't know that I feel as bad about this matchup for the Oakland Roots as I did before. You know, this Colorado Springs is hot. They're obviously very good. The Roots are not hot. You know, they've got that one win that got them into 7th place, but it's been pretty dismal coming down the stretch. But anything can happen in the playoffs. And I mean, why not these guys? They've shown they can beat pretty much all comers. And like you said, I agree with you, John. This team is best when they are sitting back and playing on the counter. And I think that this matchup is going to be really conducive to that. That's my gut. I mean, Peter, I know you've been looking a little bit at the Colorado Springs roster and what this team is playing like, and what is your sense? What's the rundown on this team right now?
They spread their goals around kind of like the Roots. You know, it's funny to see that they have Ronaldo Damas and be like, oh, that's a great forward, and Johnny's having a better season than he is. They have the same number of goals. Johnny has a couple more assists and I think a small amount fewer minutes. So it's like on paper, you'd rather have Johnny Rodriguez in this game than Ronaldo Damas.
Yeah, but still, I don't know that it will ever be funny to look at the opposing roster and see Ronaldo Damas. That's always going to be sort of nightmare inducing.
He didn't score for Orange County in the playoffs against us, except a decisive penalty in a penalty shootout. So, you know, that's like the headliner. They have 6 goals out of a guy named that I've never heard of before, named Yosuke Hanya. He has 6 goals and an assist, 4 goals and 4 assists from Zach Zandy, 4 goals from Malik Foster. And then they have a couple guys on 3 and 2. One guy who has 2 goals for them is Justin Dillon, who scored 2 goals for El Paso against the Roots this season. So the Roots will be going in against an El Paso lineup, or sorry, a Colorado Springs lineup that has more goals against them than they scored in the two games this season. They also have a pretty good defense. They're not elite, but good. Definitely in like the upper part of the second tier for defenses. The only other thing I'll note, I mean, Aaron talked about their two losses recently and the extenuating circumstances there. I mean, I think the interesting thing about their recent form is that they also drew El Paso and drew Loudoun, which means that they're 6-2-2 in their last 10 games. And the two losses and the two draws are against an eighth place, a sixth place playoff team, and three non-playoff teams. So, good news, Roots fans. Switchbacks play down to their competition.
That is good news. And the Roots tend to play up to their competition. So, you know, maybe the makings are here. I don't know. John, what do you want to see out of the Roots this coming weekend, John? Anything different? Any wrinkles? Or is it really just about, like, let's get back to basics after this last performance?
You know, I think it almost is that. It's this team needs to focus on the fundamentals, really. I brought back my article from the last game against Colorado Springs, and it's a similar tone. It's the title is Oakland Roots Missed Chances Against Colorado Springs. And how familiar is that, especially after they could have, you know, Trayvon's miss early on, Johnny off the post. So what I want to see is them just execute a little better, you know, no one giving up on balls over the top, you know, putting shots on frame, focus on the fundamentals. That's really what I think. I mean, after a 5-0 loss, it's like, you know, just try and get the little things right. Honestly, that's what this team needs to do. You know, like Trayvon's breakaway, like put it on frame, challenge the guy, you know, don't try and make the just beautiful top bin shot every single time. I brought back the article against Colorado Springs the first time, you know, Trayvon almost hits a top bin shot, just misses it high. You know, he has these beautiful shots in his locker, but the execution just is never there. So with this game, I just want to see execution, better fundamentals, handling the passes, getting passes off, finding space. In the last game, they held like 62% of the ball against Colorado Springs. If that's what we're going to do again, execute it, please.
I want to see the effort that they showed against Vegas again. You know, they came out and took the game to Vegas. I mean, which isn't to say that they had possession. I mean, they clearly didn't, but they challenged everything. They ran really hard. And I'm hoping that some, you know, this is all or nothing. Birmingham was a luxury, but this game is, you know, there's no point saving anyone's legs at this point. So Baca needs to be out there. If Dwyer has minutes in his legs, he needs to be out there. Although I don't know if that means starting. You know, I don't know if that's his value as starting, or if Gavin thinks that's his value. But I think having Baca in there means that Gomez and Riley in the midfield can go hell for leather into every challenge. There will be someone there to be the metronome if they can win the possession back. Diaz and Rasmussen contribute a lot more in that regard than Jai or Alexiev do. I think that'll make a big difference. But that's, I mean, I think that what I want to see is them playing like it's the last game of the season. You know, playing like it's going to make a difference if they give 5% more.
Obviously, the end of the season was subpar, but I think what I'm getting out of this discussion, and what I think a lot of fans probably would agree with, is that to win, the Roots are just going to have to do stuff we know they can do. All right. I mean, this team was second in the West for a brief period of time, and it wasn't a fluke. You know, it might not have been their level exactly, and maybe we tempted fate by discussing here on the pod whether we'd be disappointed with the Roots finishing the season in sixth place. You know, that was maybe a strategic misstep on our part, but this team has shown that they have it in them to play with the top teams, to play the kind of game that this roster, as it's constructed, is going to be successful with, and they just need to go out and do it. You know, I think it's as simple as that. Look, you're in seventh place. Obviously Colorado Springs has had a better season, but it's not a better season by a whole mile, right? I mean, Colorado Springs finished on 52 points and the Roots on 44. Not a whole lot separating these teams over the course of the season. Headed in opposite directions right now, but you can throw that all out the window. So I think guys will lock in now that it's the playoffs. I don't know. We haven't done predictions here in a while, in large part because it was pretty bleak, and I don't think anyone wanted to discuss why we thought the losing streak was likely to continue. But let's talk about this match. Let me start with you, John. How are the Roots going to win? What is the shape of a game in which the Roots take this first round playoff victory?
Just for comedic purposes, I want to see it go to penalty kicks against Ronaldo Damas again. Like, that'd be a story.
It's wishing ill health on most of our listeners. What is that?
If they get it done, I mean, I think it's going to be like a drag it out type of game. So I'm going to go 1-0 on the win there.
You think the goal is early or late?
Late.
Okay.
I'm going there. Nil-nil draw, penalties, Roots go through.
I mean, this is pretty much the optimal scenarios here, right? I mean, that's the perfect game for the Roots this year has been a 1-0 win. And I think that's probably it. I'm guessing, I'll go contrary to John. I think if the Roots win 1-0, that goal is early, probably sometime in the first half hour. And it lets them sit back and absorb the pressure, which I think they're capable of doing now, especially, you know, if you have your preferred back line back there and you're able to sub on defenders, right? I mean, that's something that'll be really useful if they're able to bring in defensive reinforcements and you've got Paul back there, who's obviously, I mean, the defense has been iffy at times this season, but you know, Paul is still one of the best goalkeepers in the USL. I think if it's not a penalty kick situation, the Roots have got an early goal and then just held the lead for the entire time.
If I'm an opposing coach, I am really worried about my team coming in and thinking, we're going to put five past the Roots. Let's go ahead and start worrying about the next round. It might happen. I mean, you know, the Roots have utterly shit the bed several times this season. But they've also, you know, they made Louisville look like a second-class team. They made, you know, they played Sacramento off the pitch for 60 minutes. They made, although Sacramento not getting a home game. So hilarious. you know, so I think that there is, you know, it's like we said, there is a good team that shows itself sometimes with these Roots. And, you know, if they come and do that in Colorado, I think that Colorado will be, may find themselves surprised.
All right. Well, are there any other of the playoff matches you guys are going to keep an eye on this weekend? I'll be honest. I think that Detroit Tampa Bay matchup looks pretty spicy to me.
I'll say I'm a bit jealous of Detroit. You know, they come in, they don't fool around. Two seasons in, and they're third place. It feels like what this club wanted to be. But yeah, I'll definitely watch that.
Yeah, that one and Light Sacramento. Those look like fantastic matchups.
I think Pittsburgh Charleston is maybe interesting. Is, you know, like Pittsburgh were so terrible when the Roots went there that we were so certain the Roots were going to win, and then Pittsburgh blew them out. And then Pittsburgh kind of turned things around and they like fought their way all the way back to the playoffs. But Charleston also have the, you know, arguably the best player in the history of the USL, at least in terms of what his current season looks like. I mean, Didier Drogba is the best person to ever play in the USL, but not when he played in the USL.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a good one.
One match. Keep an eye on the last match of Sunday there. New Mexico, Phoenix Rising. A nice rivalry match. Phoenix has already, I mean, they haven't announced, but it's reported that they landed Pam Duca, who was a candidate for Oakland Roots in 2022. They've, you know, the report is already out there before the playoff game. I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty messy, you know, isn't it?
I don't think Rising is inclined to leak that, you know, regarding the timing of it. Like, look, you know, Bogart has a lot of resources for that to come out at that time is just terrible. So what does that do to the locker room? You know, I'd honestly be surprised if people didn't have an inkling that, you know, a move was incoming. I mean, you couldn't have thought that the interim was going to be rehired. I'm sure he didn't expect that. So if that affects their mentality, don't know, but it sure is interesting timing. That being said, jealous of that hiring.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Before we wrap up entirely, I mean, there's a good chance that this is the last game of the Roots season. You know, you hope not, but that's what the playoffs are like. And would we have taken seventh going into the season? I think we said, I mean, didn't we? We said in predictions that, like, this team always backs into the playoffs. And yeah, it looked for a while like they wouldn't. It's still better than last season. You know, it's the same mold as last season, but a little better, and better in a decisive way at the margins. But anyway, I mean, without getting too far into that, you know, if this is the last game of the season, it's been a fun season. You know, it doesn't feel like it because the last 2 months have been so brutal to sit through. And it, you know, it may be brutal again, but, you know, it's a good season. I enjoyed watching the Roots.
Hey, you know, I'll add to that. It was a great season. It was a record-setting season for Oakland Roots blog. We've outdone our traffic by 60% from the last year. So thank you, everybody, tuning in, coming back. You know, it really means a lot.
It sure does. Well, hopefully it might well be the last chance to get together to watch the Roots this season. The watch party is at the Athletic Club Oakland downtown. Hopefully we'll see you there. You know, you got to believe. You know what? You got to believe. And I think we all do. Hope you do too. We'll see you there. And until then, up the Roots.